Welcome to Celtics Talk Podcast, everybody. I'm Mike Gorman, joined by Tom Heinsohn. Make sure to subscribe and rate the Celtics Talk Podcast. Abby and Scal got a ton of interviews at Media Day just a week ago, so they'll be rolling in here pretty soon. And then Kyle and Sherrod have you covered every week throughout the season, but we've kicked Kyle and Sherrod out of the room today, and we got myself and Tommy Heinsohn here to talk about our 38th year together doing Celtic games. How's your summer?
Pretty good. Pretty good.
What'd you do?
Did a lot of painting and just relaxing.
Where'd you go?
Up to Maine and all around Cape Ann, Gloucester, Rockport. Ton of fun for me. Yeah. You know, most people would say, how boring.
Yeah, not at all.
But for me, it wasn't.
painting just for the joy of painting, or painting because you're going to have a show somewhere? Or?
No, just because it's a niche that I have to scratch.
Therapeutic.
Yeah.
Absolutely. All right, let's talk a little basketball. Let's talk about my favorite guy who is no longer with the team, Avery Bradley.
Well,
how much are we going to miss him?
Avery Bradley was a determined defensive player. He was one of the few players that I saw over the years that could get a really, really good point guard to turn his back bringing a ball up. Now, maybe Marcus Smart is going to be able to do that since we see his new body. But Bradley was – he put fear in point guards' hearts. And he came along very effectively as an offensive player. So, you know, and he's willing to play the team basketball, which was so effective the last couple of years. So they're going to miss him.
And they're going to miss Jay Crowder, who also went off in the offseason to Cleveland. Is this going to become a team that has to win games 115 to 110 as opposed to 98 to 95?
They have a lot more offensive weapons. They have offensive weapons that suits the style of play that Brad Stevens wants to use. Defensively, I think they'll do fairly well defensively. It seems to me that his drills that he uses, it gets into their heads. We perhaps won't have the determined one-on-one defenders, but we still have two guys, Marcus Smart and Rozier, that can bend their knees, get down, and cause problems with other people. There's an influx of new talent, and I'm not quite sure who's going to be the top defender, but I think they'll be able to defend.
Let me ask you a final question, too, about who's not here before we talk in some depth about who is here, and that would be Isaiah leaving. You and I witnessed a season really unlike almost any we had ever seen with his fourth quarter heroics last year and the things he did, and then in the face of personal tragedy came back and had huge games for the Celtics. A huge fan favorite. How much do the Seas miss Isaiah?
Well, Irving is going to be a terrific offensive player and more or less take the role of Isaiah. Irving is probably a better player because he's bigger and he's stronger. But the thing that I admired most about Isaiah was his big heart. This guy, since he was in grammar school, maybe kindergarten, they were telling him he couldn't do this and he couldn't do that. And he's fought his way out of all of that because he was so small and he played a big man's game and he made an impact. And his competitiveness was second to none that I've ever seen. So we're going to miss him. We're going to miss his heart. He had a knack last couple of years, to play within the system and then to go off on his own when it needed to happen to get us back in the game or to change the direction of the game. That's going to be the challenge of Irving, to be able to play within the system and then find the moments when he has to turn the game around and make an impact. So that has yet to be determined. Irving is just a terrific offensive player.
We just passed a week where Red would have turned 100. As Red looks down on all this, what do you think Red's impression is of the job that the Tanny's doing with this team?
Well, we used to fight him for camp fare from the airport to the hotel, and now they're giving away millions, $200 million to ball players. He wouldn't have believed it. I can remember his face when Dave Gavitt started to charter planes. You know, and there was no such thing as chartering a plane during his regime as coach. And he got on the plane and he saw the compartments and beds that guys could use and all of this. And he was just like shaking his head. I'll never forget it.
How effective would Red be today?
Red was a people guy. He could push buttons. You know, people always thought that Red was a basketball genius. What it was a management genius. He got people to really, what I call the epitome of management, to get people to pour their entire personality into what they did, all their emotions, all their intellect, and their heart, and their physical abilities into what they did, and enjoy doing it. So that's a unique thing, and he created this image of team play. The Celtics of my era as a player was the consummate team playing. They played together. It wasn't just one guy. Any guy could have a huge night, and it went like that. Other teams were relying on one or two guys to score all the points, and the other guys just stood around and watched, but not our team.
My mom used to have an expression to call somebody a chief cook and bottle washer. Was Red the chief cook and bottle washer? Did he do everything? Did he book the trips? Did he?
Oh, I mean, he'd be laughing right now walking into the office where in the total NBA. I mean, there were three people in the office of the Celtics when I started playing for the Celtics. One was Red. The other was Howie McHugh, the publicity guy. And there was Walter Brown's secretary that Red was allowed to use on occasion.
Co-opt.
There was nobody around during the course of the summer. Howie McHugh had to have another job. He worked as a PR guy at one of the racetracks. And Red used to go up to Kutch's Country Club to become the athletic director for Kutch's Hotel. So, you know, completely different. The office was under the stairs in the old North Station. So when you see what's going on in this era, right now, you know, if he were sitting here, he'd be shaking his head and saying, I just don't believe this. And you know who wouldn't believe this either? Walter Brown, the original owner of the Celtics. I did some insurance work with him, and we was doing some estate planning. And you had to value the asset of the Boston Celtics. And in 1964, he valued the Celtics for estate tax purposes at $200,000.
Wow.
Okay? Look at where it is today. Yeah. It's just
approaching billions.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's crazy. Let's flash forward to the present here and talk a little bit about Danny. Danny, of course, engineered the trade that brought Kevin Garnett and Ray Allen to Boston, resulted in one championship, and maybe if he hadn't had bad luck with some injuries, could have been two or three championships. Has he done it again with this Kyrie Irving trade?
Well, he's poured a lot of talent into the equation right now. This is really a very, very talented basketball team. The challenge is to develop as quickly as possible the chemistry. What was so good about the prior couple of years is that the chemistry was absolutely fantastic. These guys all love playing with each other. They love playing for Brad Stevens. This is what they have to achieve with this group. There's going to have to be a blending of egos. That's not an easy thing to accomplish. But when I watched what he did with Isaiah and what he did with Bradley, who, you know, all players have egos. They all want to be the best. But he got them to play together. That's what I think he'll be able to do with this group.
How long a process is that, Tom, to take a bunch of guys? I mean, 8, 9 new faces on this roster who have never played together. How long a process is it to get them all on the same page with your offense and the way you want to do things?
Well, Doc Rivers, I'm going to tell you, when he finally got his guys that could possibly win the championship, he wanted to really focus on the end result. And guess what he did? He took him on a duck boat ride to show him what happens if you win the championship, mm-hmm. and to get them focused on winning, mm-hmm. and knowing that they'd have to play together. Now, these were experienced players, and there are experienced players that are coming over now. So they understand what teamwork means to some degree. Mm-hmm. But those three guys that won that last championship, they really bent their egos in order to fit together to produce a title. Mm-hmm. This team has got people that can play this style, will have to move the ball, move themselves, and will not be able to totally dominate handling the ball. That is the challenge to Irving, is to be able to do stuff without completely dominating handling the ball.
Only four guys back from a team that went to the Eastern Conference Finals last year. As this was all going down this summer, were you scratching your head, or were you sitting there going, I know exactly what he's doing here?
Danny was getting the most talent. You know, when he made that deal with the Nets to acquire those draft choices, mm-hmm. man, he's really produced some talent. Mm-hmm. I mean, this year's ball club, in my opinion, has got the perfect blending of people. They have experienced players, and they have some very, very eager young players. So the teams that I played on that were title-driven, and produce great titles were a situation where they had older players and young players, and the older players pulled the young players through, and the younger players pushed the old guys through. So there was a push-pull effect that really, really invigorated the whole basketball team, and I think that's present today.
Let's talk about some individuals on this team. I run into Marcus Smart the other night, and I take a double take, 25 pounds lighter. So much of his game was strength, was almost bully ball. He would just get in people's faces and stay there. Now at 25 pounds later, can he be that same type of player?
Oh, he's not lost any strength. What he's picked up is quickness and speed, and able to use his athletic ability. That the heavier he got, the slower he became, and the less able he was to really jump. Right. So,
and he had back problems.
And he had back problems, yeah, too. So if that's all been corrected, I look for Marcus to have a really great year. The challenge is to see how they're going to use him. Is he going to be a starter, or is he going to be a guy coming off the bench? Mm-hmm. And I would suspect that he will be a bench guy. And he's the perfect sixth-man player, mm-hmm. to come in. And the role of the sixth man historically with the Boston Celtics, he had to be an impact player, so that if things were going wrong, he could turn the direction of the team. And if things were going well, to continue and to accelerate what was happening. He's the perfect guy because he will go out there and immediately do something that will change the direction of the basketball team.
Jalen had a great rush at the end of the year for a rookie, played exceptionally well in the playoffs. Is this a breakout year for him coming up?
You know, this is only his second year, buddy, and he's still a kid. Mm-hmm. But the part that I admire a lot about him is that he's a great athlete, mm-hmm. and he's a very smart guy, a very smart basketball player, and he came up with a ton of experience. They threw him into the water and hoped he would swim, and he at least got the doggy paddling last year. And they put him on LeBron and stuff like that. So in the summer league, they turned him into, at times, a point guard to let him initiate the offense to see if he could do it, which indicated to me that they're really planning on using him at the two spot an awful lot. I wouldn't be a bit surprised to see if he was the starting two guard with this team. Mm-hmm. Because the quick forward spot now is going to be loaded down with players. So that's one of the reasons why they felt comfortable in trading Crowder away. Mm-hmm. And that they've got quick forwards. I mean, the rookie that we have coming in from Duke, that guy has got the potential to be an all-star player. So In the last two drafts, the Celtics have two young players who are just kids who have all-star potential and all-star potential in a rather quick way. So this is a big year for Brown to see if all that experience he had last year makes him gel as a really, really confident player.
Talk to me about Gordon Hayward. What do you see there?
Well, Gordon Hayward is a guy that is a total all-around player. He can do pretty much everything. He can rebound. He's an outside shooter. He can take it strong to the hoop. He can pass the ball. He's a decent defender. So and he also played in his style of basketball. Mm-hmm. And I think he loves to play in this style of basketball. Mm-hmm. So I think he'll do rather well, and I think they will utilize him. I mean, what he is to me is a better Kelly Olynyk. He'll stretch the defense and be able to put the ball on the floor, dribble, and create things. Mm-hmm. So he's a better scoring player than Olynyk, but of the same ilk that probably more accomplished talents and skills than Olynyk had, but that may end up being his role.
Does he benefit a lot from the acquisition of Kyrie Irving and that he now can settle into being like the number two guy and not have the pressure of being the guy?
You know, I don't think this basketball team is going to be this guy's got to carry the team every night. Mm-hmm. Like Isaiah last year really at times became the only offense.
Fourth quarter performances were unbelievable.
Yeah. And so he was the go-to guy. This basketball team is going to have several go-to guys. And the way that Brad Stevens has utilized people, it's that he uses situations, plays, understanding who to go at, where the weakness of the defense. They just don't give it to one guy and say, go to it. Mm-hmm. They come up with good shots from various people. Brad Stevens outfoxed a lot of other teams' defenses within the last 10 seconds of basketball games.
Yeah, he did that. We certainly witnessed that. Tatum, you've already talked about. A guy who I think is a dark horse on this team is Rozier. I think he's a guy who's going to get minutes and will be a productive player for the Celtics. What do you think?
Danny Ainge, when I spoke to him a couple of weeks ago, spoke very, very highly of what Rozier was doing this summer. So if he comes back an improved player, he is one of the few players that the Celtics had that was able to put the ball on the floor and get where he wanted to get to. He was that type of player in college. He wasn't always necessarily effective with finishing it off with a real reasonably decent shot that had a chance to go in. Mm-hmm. But he's very athletic, and if he has come up with confidence that he can put the ball off the glass against anybody, he's going to be a dynamite player. He's a very motivated player defensively. He gets over at people, and that's the guy that may help everybody forget Bradley, because he is more of a point guard type player, but has improved his game, and defensively he's going to be really, really tough too.
Celtics open the season at Cleveland, fly back home the next night, play Milwaukee here in Boston with the Greek Freak, who's very, very good. It'll be Milwaukee's opening game of the season, and then fly to Philadelphia on Thursday, and to play Friday in Philadelphia's home opener. My question to you is, do fans need to be patient with this team the first month or so and not expect them to come out of the blocks 10-0?
Well, I'm going to refer everybody who's listening to the New England Patriots, who spent the training camp developing the second line so that the first line, when they started the season, really wasn't in sync. Mm-hmm. And that's what's liable to happen here. Chemistry takes a little while for it to cook. You got to stir the pot a little bit before you really get the final ingredient. Let it be known, in my opinion, that this team is way more talented than the Celtics have had in a long, long time. And I think on talent alone, they'll be able to get off to a decent start. But they're going to be tested, and they're going to be tested. If they don't win, they're going to be tested. The chemistry of the team is going to be tested. How does everybody react to not getting off to a good start?
Right.
If they start pointing fingers at each other, forget about it. Forget the season. And that's where Brad Stevens comes in. I think he's well aware of that potential. And he's managed to convey teamwork, the idea of teamwork, to anybody that's ever played for him. So I expect he'll do the same.
You've used the expression often in the past, guys barely have exchanged phone numbers to getting to know each other. As a player for you and later as a coach for you watching the team develop, I keep coming back to you, how long does that take for guys to get totally committed to the team concept with guys they haven't played with before?
Well, first of all, you got to get accustomed to playing with each other. And I'll give you my own history and from my own experience. For a significant number of years, I played with Bob Cousy. And I knew where Bob Cousy was going to be, where he's going to pass the ball, how he passed the ball. And he always got me the ball when I was in a good position to shoot the ball. When he retired and Casey Jones took over, he was a different point guard. He wasn't the type of passer. So I ended up taking two or three steps further out just to get the ball. So it changes your game. That's the type of thing that they have to work out, is to feel how to bring out the best in each other.
Kyrie Irving, before we move on to some other subjects here, Kyrie Irving, Olympic gold medalist, NBA champion, MVP of the All-Star game, 25 years old. Have we got a genuine superstar on
it? Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, this kid was the number one pick in the draft his year. And if I remember correctly, correct me if I'm wrong, but he was injured when he was down there at Duke. So yes. He didn't really show himself to be the type of player while he was at Duke. So they picked him up on faith because they'd seen him play in other places. This guy has been a star, been a top-level player ever since, you know, I would think he got past learning how to dribble. He's the bona fide guy, and I think he's a competitive guy, too, because he stepped up many a time during the playoffs with Cleveland to really help turn the direction of that team.
Have you had a chance to look around the league at all? A move made yesterday, Carmelo goes to Oklahoma City. Does that change the Knicks? Does that make the Knicks any better, worse? Can't imagine them being worse.
I keep shaking my head about the Knicks over the years. I mean, they've had the worst ownership, the worst management of any team in the NBA, except during the regime of what's his name? Eddie Donovan, who was the general manager, coached them. He coached at St. Bonaventure. He's the guy that put together the team that won the titles for them. And he didn't know how to play the New York political game, and they let him go. And he ended up rebuilding or building the Buffalo franchise. So they don't recognize over the years good people that they've had. Another instance was the guy that worked for Larry Bird at Indiana, the lawyer, and what's his name again? He came to the Knicks, and he wanted to come to the Knicks. He put together a very good nucleus of young players. And then somebody read a newspaper article and said, we absolutely have to have the guy from Denver. And they went out and traded the whole team to get the guy they just let go.
Anybody you see as a real threat to Boston in the Eastern Conference?
Oh, I think Washington. I think, you know, they got a taste of it. They confidence.
Great backcourt.
Yeah, great backcourt. And their front court wasn't bad either.
No, it wasn't bad.
All right? Yeah. So our front court's going to be a lot different. You know, The other one is Detroit. And the other one is when you look at what's going on, the teams that I think are vastly improved is potentially Detroit with Bradley. I think Milwaukee, I think Chicago is back to ground zero.
Yeah.
All the other teams.
The Heat will be pretty good. They're always pretty good. Miami, they're always pretty good.
Well, the coach is very, very good, yep. And they've got a stable management and ownership, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. so they're liable to come along. But we got the most talent mm-hmm. right now, except for Cleveland. I mean, Cleveland, that's going to be a challenge too. I mean, Derrick Rose is going to be a factor on that team. How does he fit in? And can he fit in? And so. The thing is still up in the air.
Everybody I talk to says the Celtics are going to be better this year. And I say, well, they were one of the final four teams in the NBA play-in last year. So to be better, they would have to get to the NBA Finals. Is that a realistic measuring point for this team, that they have to get to the NBA Finals?
Well, as Fred Arbeck would say, we're not here today, starting this season, to come in second. We're here to come in first. So they've got a reasonably decent shot. If everything goes well, there's no injuries, and they blend their talents together, their egos, that all has to happen in order for them to become, to achieve the potential that this group has. Mm-hmm. And I can't predict what's going to happen there. I have a feeling what might happen. I think they're going to really play well together, and they may come together quicker than people think. So there's a chance that we could be an upper echelon team. I mean, we got to the conference finals, and we got stymied. But one of the guys that stymied us is now on our team.
And you know what we've just done? We've shown Kyle and Sherrod what a podcast really should sound like, right? Celtics Talk Podcast. Join them soon. I'm Mike. He's Tommy. Thanks for listening.